You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com. Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Yeah, not much else to go over.
Yeah, that's it.
It's been kind of boring.
With Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks, what role does Jeff Janis play in the offense? That's the question.
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, one of those guys is getting cut, right? There's no way Kendricks and Bennett are making the roster because Janis.
and then there's Richard Rodgers, who they drafted, so he's safe. Like, where do these guys play? There's not enough footballs to go around.
I got to get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts? Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him. Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
What is up, Packer fans? Welcome to edition number 2 of Off-Season Pack to the Future here in 2017. I am not your host, John Jameson. He has come down with a sudden illness that we're pretty sure is fake, but our hearts are with you, John, nonetheless. Our fake hearts are with you for your fake sickness and your fake news.
Hashtag
fake sick. All right. I am Brian Fonfara, your host for the evening. I was just pining for my days where I used to be the host, guys. I just wanted you guys to have to put up with me for another hour or so. Dusty, how do you feel about that?
I don't feel great, if I'm being honest. But I'm excited to be here talking to you guys.
That was the most insincere excitement I've ever heard in my entire life.
Sorry, I was thinking about John. It's not a big deal, Brian.
Thank you. Jordan, in a sincere way, tell me how excited you are to be here.
I'm extremely excited. It's great, Brian. It's wonderful.
That's good. That's better than
mine. I was going to say Dusty's was better, but we'll have to leave this up to greater minds than ours.
That's right.
I don't know. Not that you're going to find greater minds than ours, but here we are. So we have so much to talk about, guys.
It's ridiculous.
Like, working with these many transactions related to the Packers in this span of time is really what gets me. Usually it's this much activity or less, but spread out over 4 months of an off season. This has all happened in a week. We talked about recording this episode on Sunday night. Here we are recording it on Tuesday night, and it's a good thing because we had a really, really active Tuesday, and we've just got a laundry list of acquisitions and player losses that we get to talk about now. So why don't we just go ahead and jump right into it? We're going to do this coin toss style. So you get, how many is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You get 10 coin tosses this week, guys.
Wow.
Name one other podcast where you get 10 coin tosses in one episode. I dare you.
Can't do it.
Only one. Please tell your friends about this show. Please. They deserve to hear this. All right.
Bunch of jabronis. Tell your jabroni friends.
Please do. All right. We're going to start it off with Jordan and Dusty talking about probably the most surprising move of all, and that was bringing in Martellus Bennett. 3-year deal. Big, strong, fast tight end. You guys get to tell us all about him. So the coin toss, you know, we're more or less on board with pretty much all of these moves here. So you're not going to hear any of us just slandering any of them, but we're going to try to give both sides of the coin here. And for every acquisition, tell you why it may or may not work. So let's start with Martellus Bennett. And Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, you're going to go positive. Tails, you're going to go negative. Jordan, have fun. why is Martellus Bennett in Green Bay not going to work?
Why is it not going to work? All right. Well, let's. Yeah, this is a tough one. Perhaps I could possibly see this actually becoming an issue if you're not too well versed on Martellus Bennett's career. He is quite outspoken, which isn't really true of many of the Packers of recent history, or even on the team right now. In fact, really, when you compare him to most NFL players, he is very outspoken. That could end up being an issue maybe at some point. Maybe next season, if he's, if the team is struggling, he makes some kind of comment. That could cause a rift. I don't know. I could see that potentially being an issue. But I mean, when you're talking about the talent the guy brings, I mean, it's definitely a risk you take, considering the Packers tight end situation and the fact that we are not probably going to be bringing Jared Cook back, as most assumed that we would. So, I think after the news that Cook wasn't coming back to the Packers, or he was getting better offers, we were like, all right, well, we're back to having just, you know, Richard Rodgers and Perillo. And then Thompson goes out and gets Martellus Bennett, to the shock of almost everybody. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of tough to really see a negative with this. I mean, even the price range, you can't really even knock that. I mean, we compare him to a guy like Jermaine Gresham, you know, getting his contract. He's getting paid more than Martellus Bennett. I mean, the skill level is not even comparable. So, but the fact that Martellus Bennett is a little more outspoken, he doesn't mind using social media, doesn't mind saying what's on his mind, that could potentially be an issue. Yeah, some point down the road in a bit of a funk for the Packers, but I mean that's a risk you take with a talent like him.
All right, Dusty, what's got you excited?
Man, like everything, just everything. I feel bad for Jordan because that was
that was really difficult for him to do.
That's I mean legit like the one thing you cannot be excited about this. As I don't know if everyone's seen, he's already gone on Twitter. He had a poll for his new number, which was voted as 80. He actually got that cleared with Donald Driver, which I thought was really, really cool. Driver signed off on the deal, so it looks like old Martellus Bennett will be wearing number 80 this year. But, man, he's 29. I think he'll be if he turns 30 during the year or before the year. So, I mean, he's no spring chicken, but he's good, man. Like, he's really, really good. His catch rates since becoming a full-time starter in 2012, his lowest was like 61.8. He's consistently been high 60s. Last year, his catch rate, he had 73 targets. He caught 75% of the balls. To put that in perspective, Jared Cook's highest of his career was 60%. 60%. Cook never had a year that really rivaled, that came anywhere close to Martellus Bennett's best year. Bennett can block. I mean, you say, he's got the personality. He's a little outspoken. He also seems like a guy who kind of loosens some stuff up, in the locker room with that as well. I'm curious to see how that plays, but man, the guy can play. He doesn't have a ton of speed, but he is a pretty fast guy. He can block. Good route runner, good hands. Like, man, there's just nothing not to love about this. They got him on a really good deal, like you said, Jordan. Less than Jermaine Gresham, which sounds like a joke. Like, it just sounds like a terrible joke. Ridiculous. Man, it's hard not to be super, super. This one totally came out of left field. Was not expecting this. I am just over the moon about this.
Man, I had a tweet. I have nothing against Jared Cook. He did a lot for us last year, but go watch the film. Anything Jared Cook can do, Martellus Bennett can do better. And I really do mean anything. Like Dusty said, better catch radius, better hands, better blocking. A lot of the complaints really from outside of the organization, from in the fans' point of view, was that this team lacked leadership last year. This will be some leadership. This will be that on the field, grab a dude by a face mask. This will be that kind of guys get it together kind of thing. So I'm pumped about this. I do have to give that point to Jordan because I just feel so bad for him having to come out and speak against this move.
You mentioned, let me say one more thing, potentially negative about Bennett. You mentioned the number. I'm actually not a fan of him being number 80, and it's actually for the reason you said, that it was Donald Driver's number. My vote,
James Lofton.
I voted for this on the Twitter poll. I voted for number 85.
Because I'm looking. I look at number 80, I'm thinking Driver. I look at 84, I think Sterling Sharp. I look at 86, I think Antonio Freeman. And I maybe have forgotten someone with the number 85, but what came to mind was Corey Bradford. Like, I'd rather, I don't know, that was my thought process. I'm like, give him the number of the least influential Packers receiver, but
I
like
really, really want
to. I don't dislike Corey Bradford. No.
I want to take your point away. I won't do it, but Greg Jennings, he had a chance to undo Greg Jennings and restore some to 85. And if you're thinking Freeman instead of Donald Lee when you're thinking number 86, Jordan, come on.
Fair. Justin Perillo was number 80 as well, though. So I feel like you're taking that back. Taking it back.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Different.
If it went from Driver to Perillo, I'm totally okay with Bennett having it. Oh, my goodness. As much as I love Skip Leg Day Perillo.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Shots fired.
He doesn't even have skinny legs, but just how huge his upper body is just dwarfs his legs, and it really does look like he skips leg day.
I honestly thought it was just Brett Swain that just gained some weight and just came back, like, larger, like, just ate a bunch and came back. I was like, no, I'm a different guy. I'm a tight end now.
Brett Swain. Oh, Brett Swain. Brett Swain was like the Jeff Janis before Jeff Janis.
No, not nearly as much hype.
Not nearly as much hype, man. But I mean, you talk about the fifth receiver that really wasn't that good of a receiver. That's Brett's
dropped a ball. Are you saying
this just because? Are you saying this just because he's white, Jordan? Legacy. Come on. It's 2017, no. Man.
Don't do that to me. That's not what I'm saying.
On that wonderful note, we're going to move on to probably the biggest loss that we've suffered this offseason, and that is TJ Lang, our right guard. So Dusty and I are going to talk about that. The man moved to Detroit. So Dusty, I'm going to flip this coin. If it is heads, you're going to go positive about the move. If it's tails, you'll go negative. It's tails. Go negative. Why should we have kept him?
Yeah, I mean, I just the line. The line to me, I mean, you can look at the money and you can make excuses and rationalize it away, which I have already done. but, I mean, you've got – so we had Taylor step in for Sitton last year, and that wasn't a huge deal. Taylor played pretty well. One of the reasons Taylor played so well is he was on a dynamite line. Like, he was – and granted, I mean, people can't compensate for everything, but he's playing between Bakhtiari and Lindsley. And then, of course, you had Lang on the other side, and you had Bulaga on the other side. Like, it was just a solid line. I don't think Taylor is a great player. Taylor's not as good as Sitton, but he did okay. I'm kind of worried now that we're going to have our two weakest positions are going to be at the guard position. I don't know who's stepping in there at this point. After we'll get to it in a little bit, but we let Treader walk as well. He signed somewhere else. So that means we're going to have... People say Bulaga stepping inside. I don't really see that because he's a dynamite right tackle. Spriggs isn't ready. I don't think Murphy's ready. Maybe we draft someone. I don't know. But, I mean, beyond that, say we plug that hole. Say we plug someone in right guard who's maybe not as good as Lang, but okay. And then say someone gets injured. The depth is just gone, man. Like, we lost between Lang and Treader. We lost two guys that are huge for that line. And Lang especially. I mean, aside from the fact that he seemed like a really good dude, really seemed like he liked being there, he also was just a rock at that guard spot. And without him, I'm kind of concerned over how this line is going to do next year. That's how they do when they're healthy, but especially if we get a single injury, that's potentially terrifying to have Rodgers playing behind a line with that many glaring holes in it, I think.
All right. Look, overall, like, I would prefer to have kept TJ Lang, but we made him an offer that I view as quite fair. Whether or not he does is totally up to him, and clearly he couldn't have thought it was that fair since he took another one. But the Lions outbid us, man. They did, and they did it by a lot. And judging by his comments, it sounds like the Seahawks outbid us too. And I just can't justify spending that much money on a right guard. If you made a list of the most replaceable positions on a football team and you got rid of long snapper and punter and stuff like that, right guard is right down there, man. And TJ Lang was a special right guard. I will grant him that, but he was still a right guard, and that's a position that you can replace. I would not have wanted to pay him $9.5 million a year. That just doesn't sound like a good time to me. About to be on the wrong side of 30. I think we can find somebody middle of the draft. We've got a couple of young kids that I think this coaching staff is high on. And as long as it's not Don Barclay signing there, we even forgot to put him on our list. Scary. So yeah, I'll gain extra points with the Judge Jordan by saying Don Barclay is terrible at football. Yeah, as long as Don Barclay isn't the starter at right guard, I think we can find somebody to be right, somebody to be good. And I am taken back to Ted's first year here when he let Wall and Rivera go, and it took us forever to replace those two. But yeah, those two also left and did nothing. So I don't know. I'm just going to trust Ted's judgment here. I think it was the right move to let him go for that price. 3 years, $21 million was our offer, and I wouldn't have gone above that.
I tell you one thing I want to kind of add real quick that I was thinking about when you were talking that terrifies me is if you remember the second game we played against the Vikings, they went like double A gap blitz a lot, just over the guards. Sometimes they faked it, sometimes they came in, and they were still getting in even with a couple decent guards. Like playing them and getting that double A gap blitz look against who could possibly be left guard and right guard.
Like, yeah, but then you risk, if you don't contain the outsides perfectly, you risk Aaron Rodgers scrolling outside. And when he does that, that's when he's the most lethal. Throwing on the run against his body outside the pocket, that's where he does so much damage.
If they get beat immediately, it's hard for him to get outside of there. That immediate A-gap rush,
sure, but
it's hard to get away from that. So that's scary. Yeah.
I don't think anyone will be able to do that.
I agree with you on that deal. I do think Blind's overpaid. I didn't want him on that money, but it is a little scary.
Fair enough. Jordan, who wins?
I'm going to give it to Brian. Although, I mean, I don't disagree with you at all about Barclay, but truthfully, we signed him to whatever, 1.3 or whatever the price was for his contract. I would not be shocked in the least if he's starting there week one.
Who were we bidding against?
Yeah.
That we couldn't have gone with 800,000 instead of 1.3. Who was sitting there at 1.1 million for an offer for Don Barclay that we felt we had to go to that money?
I mean, obviously there's some reason or someone that just loves the dude, because he has been poor for multiple seasons now, and then he gets signed to another 1 year deal. We let a guy go into a place that he could fill in. And it's probably going to be him. I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if it's him.
It's overvaluing on false versatility. Just because the guy can physically play all five positions, he can't play any of them well. That's not versatility. Versatility is doing multiple things well. J.C. Treader was versatility. He could play center as a starter, guard as a starter, tackle as a backup, and he played all of them well.
Yep, and he got paid like it too.
And he did, so, which is fine. Yeah, I'm not saying we should have kept him instead of Barclay. Like, it's apples and oranges, but like, let's talk about real versatility here. And why are we keeping around somebody who just has the mental capacity to play these, even though he can't play them physically?
We don't actually know if he has the mental capacity to play.
We don't.
Let's be clear on that.
We don't. That's fair. But I'm guessing he must. If he's being kept here for his ability to play all five positions, but that's just straight up deductions based on no fact. So
maybe he gives like really good back.
He might. He does look really good. Would be a good cuddle. I will say that.
I think he would.
He's a teddy bear.
A lot of meat on those bones.
Good locker room presence.
He's a teddy bear if I've ever seen one. That's for sure. All right. Moving on from the teddy bear, Don Barclay. To the monster, the manimal, Nick Perry, coming off of his contract year, which happened to be his best year ever. We'll see if he can replicate that pass rush moving forward. That's really the only concern, I guess. But all right, Jordan, it's me and you, buddy. We're talking Nick Perry.
Let's go.
All right. So if it's heads, I will go positive. If it's tails, I will go negative. It is heads. I get to go positive again. Yeah. All right. He's still young. He signed a what I view to be incredibly team-friendly deal when some of the rumblings I was hearing, I mean, not from any like real sources, but it was really sounding like he was going to get paid big time on the open market to go play somewhere else. And the numbers being thrown around were numbers I knew that we wouldn't match, and I didn't really want to. We got, if you go average salary, it's probably a little bit higher than I wanted to go. But then when you figure how much of it is signing bonus and not against the cap, and how much of it is guaranteed, and how much, like, he's making less than $6 million against the cap next year. That's nothing for a guy that led this team in sacks last year. The team that went to the NFC Championship game, he was their sacks leader, and he's going to be making less than $6 million against the cap next year. That's an amazing deal for the Packers. I just couldn't possibly be happier about that. He's always been stellar against the run. When you look back to some of those playoff games where Colin Kaepernick was just running all over us, he was running right at Clay Matthews, who just, for all the strengths he's had his whole career, he has never been able to hold an edge against the run. Nick Perry does that brilliantly. So even if he doesn't come back with that pass rush, you know he's going to hold the edge, and he's going to be really good against the run. So, man, this is a better team with Nick Perry on it, and especially given the deal that he got, I can't, there's nothing against it, man. I think it's just a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, in the short term, I definitely agree with you. I mean, $6 million against the cap. I mean, that's nothing for a guy that had an impact on the field as he did last year. The potential problem is the fact that he played for us for 4 years before this past year, didn't play that well, and then came to a contract year and started playing great. Now he got his money. Are we going to get the same Nick Perry that we got last year? Not saying one way or the other, but I mean that is a concern. If he's got that kind of mentality where he's just trying to get his payday, and then he goes back to normal. I mean, that's not calling him out in one way or the other. I'm just saying that would be a concern. Secondly, in 2 years, so after this year, second year contract, third year contract, it's $14.7 million against the cap. And we might get into a situation where we're in right now with Clay Matthews, where the production on the field is not matching the payday at all. Because the Clay Matthews situation is a tough one, because you've seen what he can do, the potential of it, but he's getting paid way too much money. That could be an issue with Perry a couple years down the road. This, like we said, this year, it's fine. But for a guy like Ted Thompson, who makes deals almost always looking a couple years down the road, there's some potential concerns with Perry. So those would be the negatives that I would see with this deal.
But on the other hand, that money's not guaranteed, and neither is Clay Matthews, most right. of his this year. But Clay Matthews is living off of what he did when this was a Super Bowl team.
Agreed.
So with Nick Perry, he doesn't have that going for him. So for him to get that going for him, we'd have to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. And then I couldn't possibly care less, because we will have won a Super Bowl.
Fair point. That's a fair
point. Yeah,
I think I don't know. Good points on both sides. I think I'm going to go with Jordan, just because the points that he brought out are the exact points I've gone through in my head. I'll say that when he signed the deal, I was excited. Brian, for the exact reasons you said. I mean, he's great against the run, good pass rusher, one of those guys that seemed to get pressure, seemed like sacks were going to come. And then last year they kind of did, but at the same time, besides his inconsistency, you also had injury history and just the fact that his one big year has meant, yep. like his biggest year, his 11 sack season was contract year. Like, it's just a bit scary. So I'm a roll.
It's totally fair. It's totally fair. You're dead to me, but it's totally
good
fair.
Good points, though. <You're> good job.
You're dead to me. All right.
That's fine.
Jordan's doing well here. He's 2 for 2.
I'll take it.
Good job,
Jordan. He has had the much harder jobs here, though. Let's be fair. Like, this is earned. Like, he had to go negative about Bennett and Perry.
I've been attending the optional off-season practices. I'm in rare form tonight. I'm in shape.
All right, you jabroni. Eddie Lacy just this week, just today as we record, signed with the Seahawks. First of all, to all those people out there swearing at Eddie Lacy, calling him a traitor, just get a life. Are you serious? And I'm sorry if that alienates any of the listeners, but the guy got paid, all right? Like, there's the rivalry between the Seahawks and the Packers is much bigger for the fans than it is the players, okay? And this is a business, and he got a job, so just move on. Huh. Had to get that off my chest. Thanks, guys. All right. Jordan and Dusty talking Eddie Lacy. Jordan, if it's heads, you're going to go positive. If it's tails, you're going to go negative. You get to go positive, Jordan. Letting Lacy leave was the right move.
Yes. I truly do agree that Eddie Lacy leaving is the right move for the Packers. The contract he signed, I mean, 1-year deal. We'd even talked about this during the season last year, I think after Lacy got hurt, that if we were going to bring Lacy back, it'd be on a 1-year deal. So in that case, if the Packers would have given him this contract, I wouldn't have been that upset. That being said, him leaving, the Packers are not a running team. We weren't a running team even when we had Lacy. Lacy was a almost a luxury to this offense. We're a pass-first team. I think the emergence of Ty Montgomery last year made the decision to let Eddie Lacy walk that much easier. With that, I mean, we have one running back now. I mean, Christine Michael is an unrestricted free agent, probably not coming back, I wouldn't imagine. You got Aaron Ripkowski, who we actually handed the ball off quite a bit to.
The Ripper.
The Ripper. Yep. Number two on the depth chart right now.
Joy.
So, you know. So, I mean, yeah, it's this is something, too. You can address a running back issue with the way the Packers run their offense. You can address this in the draft. You can plug in a speedy rookie running back into the offense and have it be, you know, marginally effective. Yep. You can do that in the late rounds of the draft. And I'm sure that's probably what Ted's thinking right now. He said, I don't need to spend whatever it was, $3.5 million, $5.5 million. I don't remember the numbers for Lacy's contract. I think it was around $5 million.
Five and a half million.
He's probably like, I don't need to spend $5.5 million on a guy that we're not going to use that much. And I mean, not to mention too, I mean, health is an issue with him. I mean, he's been hurt. There was a report even today that he came in one of his three team meetings. He weighed in the 260s when he was listed as
267, man.
267. He was listed.
That's 4'3" defensive end weight, man.
He was listed as in the 230s last year, and that which probably wasn't true. But I mean, yeah, he's getting the weight down has been an issue for him. It's been an issue for him, and it has impacted his effectiveness to a point. I mean, he's used that, you know, heavier set to be an effective running back, but you know, he's also had plays where he should be scoring on breakaway runs and guys are chasing him down. That's a thing. And that doesn't get better when he gets older. So I don't think this really hurts the team at all, letting him go. I think his effectiveness may not be matched, but to match his effectiveness in the offense doesn't really affect this offense that much. It's dependent on the passing game, which Lacy wasn't a huge part of either. So I have no issue with him going. I don't like that he's going to the Seahawks, but I can get over that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say it's a negative because the coin tells me I have to. But then also because I had already talked myself into it looked like there wasn't a ton of interest out there. So I kind of talked myself into, well, man, we got a backfield of Lacy pounding the ball. We got Montgomery. We can grab someone in free agency. There's been rumors today that the Packers are linked to Jamal Charles, who in limited time could be just amazing. We mentioned Ripkowski, maybe Michael back, maybe someone on the late rounds, maybe bring back. I think Crockett's gone. Like John Crockett is like a number three or something is fine. Like, but I talked myself into Lacy and Montgomery. Montgomery has not shown that he can stay healthy. Next year will be the first year in his career that he will be a full-time running back. And a full-time, we talked about this at some point, during the season as well. A running back for the Packers is not a running back for every other team. You don't have to establish a run. You're not going to be pounding the ball 30 times a game like the Cowboys did with Zeke Elliott. You're going to be running the ball. Montgomery, I don't know, 12, 15 times a game and you're catching passes out of the backfield. But having Lacy is a compliment, and just seeing what he could do. That was one of the things I loved with Lacy in the offense was, sometimes McCarthy would fall a little bit too much in love with the run. And then sometimes Lacy would have a big game and McCarthy would stop using him. But there would be times when McCarthy was just, he'd ride the hot hand. If Lacy's working, you just let Lacy work. And until they stop it, and then you kind of run other stuff off of that. It does open some stuff up. It draws the safeties up. Without Lacy, they don't have that. And I love Ty Montgomery, but Lacy was a special runner in that. Yeah, he was a big dude, but man, for a big dude, like, he wasn't fast, as you mentioned, Jordan, but he had quickness and had really quick feet, really smart decision making, and just a, like, could read the line really well, great patience, and just burst through the hole. And Montgomery has that as well, but again, like, you could have two of those guys. I think with the deal that he got, with $5.5 million, $3.5 million guaranteed, with the cap money the Packers have, that's a perfect prove it deal. I don't know what the Packers offered him, and maybe he'll flame out. I don't think he's going to be good in Seattle. I think it's a bad fit, but if he could have come back on a 1 year deal, just given one more good year, which I think he could have done, I think this could have been a really, really special offense, especially given what the tight end did. Now they're kind of – might be scrambling a little bit. Lacy was also really good in protection, which Montgomery was not. So I don't blame him for going, and I think we should be fine. But I do think we missed something by not having Lacy back there.
All right. Dusty, I know that wasn't easy for you, and I really don't want Jordan to have another point. So you get that one.
That was so predictable.
Can't have Jordan going 3-1-0 up here. No. It's not going to happen.
That's what I do. That's what I do with the that's how I get my points. It's always just like, well, I don't want Jordan to get it, so that's how I get
right. All right.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right. After that, we are going to take a quick break here so Jordan can tell you about a pretty awesome clothing company. Jordan, take it away.
Pretty awesome. Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, that
you're
one.
You're talking about Pride and Glory Clothing Company, aren't you, Brian?
That's the one, sir.
That's the one. Yes, Pride and Glory Clothing. We've been having them as a sponsor now for, boy, I'm not sure how long. I feel like it's been
just about a year
since we started. It's about a year.
About a year.
Pride and Glory Clothing. You know, we're well into the off season, but Packers news has been dominating my Twitter timeline. Getting excited for the draft, and before you know it, you know, OTAs, mini camps. Training camp, preseason game. It's going to be here before we know it, guys. And we got to up our gear. So prideandglory63.com. You know, right now I was even just checking the website before the podcast. They even got a special bundle, guys. You guys can get a Pride and Glory t-shirt, a winter hat, and a wristband for only $35. That's an $8 discount. Not too bad. If you're one of those guys that wears a beanie in the summertime, you know, that'd be a great deal for you. You know, I'm not one of those guys, but you know, I am. I'm gonna be buying that right after the podcast, actually. So Pride and Glory Clothing Company, check it out, guys. It's prideandglory63.com.
Wonderfully done. All right. Well, we've got a whole lot more to talk about here. We've still got 6 moves to talk about. Whoo, baby. All right. And we're going to move on to a returning Packer. Devon House just today signed a deal. Not to toot my own horn, but this deal came like 15 minutes after I sent out a tweet saying Ted was going to sign someone else soon.
I did this.
When you've got a microphone in front of your face, you can brag about your tweets.
Look at me now, Mom.
what's that great line from The Wedding Singer? Well, I have a microphone and you don't, so you will listen to every damn word I have to say. God, I love that movie. All right, Devon House signed today. 1 year, what, $3.5 million, guys? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Million. Yeah.
Here we go. Let's talk about it. A cornerback. All right, Dusty, I'm going to flip it for you. Heads positive, tails negative. You know the drill. It's tails. Go negative, buddy.
Oh, come on, Brian. Am I going against you?
You're going against me.
It's weird that you're the one flipping the coin. And it always seems to come up in your favor. It's
amazing,
not a big
right?
deal or anything. It's just something I'm picking up on.
Just say the word conspiracy, and so we can all just move on.
Saving it all for later. I'm saving it for Twitter. I want to brag about it the next time we're on.
That is your prerogative.
I can play that game too, Brian. Yeah, I mean, so we let House walk to Jacksonville 2 years ago. I think he's been there for two seasons. And the main reason we let him walk, we had a couple different reasons. One of the main ones was the money, because the Jacksonville Jaguars were paying him. And the other reason is because he was not great. He wasn't terrible. He had some games where, like, he just seemed like he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. At best, like, the best he is a, we'll say, slightly richer man's Ladarius Gunter. And we already have one of those. He's a not a fast guy. He can kind of cover bigger guys on the outside. Kind of a long arm, lanky kind of guy. He can jam. Decent coverage skills. A little stiff at times. Can get lost on the occasional double move. Like, he's fine. He's fine. And for $3.5 million, like, that's fine. But I'm scared that people are hoping that this is going to turn the secondary around after the issues we had last year. And given what we've seen out of him, I think there will be an improvement, but I don't think it's going to be a vast one. I mean, Gunter got better as the season went along, but Gunter was not great by any stretch of the imagination. And we just added another one of those guys, that we already let walk. So I don't know. Like, I think the secondary will be better next year just by default, because you'll have another year with Randall and Rollins. And I think those guys are going to be really, really good next year. And another year with Haha Clinton Dix, who was dynamite this past year, and Burnett's great. Like, I think it's going to be better, because I can't see it being worse, but I don't know how much of that is going to be House. Like, it seems fine. You can't really be mad at it, but I don't really think it changes too much in the secondary.
That's fair. I actually think it changes quite a bit.
I do too. I just lied. I just lied all that time.
We lost Micah Hyde. That sucks. But Devon House is so much better in coverage than Micah Hyde is. And that's really what this team lacked. We had nobody that could cover consistently last year. Not only are we getting a veteran that this cornerback room really, really needed, but it's a veteran that knows this defense, that played in it 3 seasons ago. Like, he knows what he's doing here. He fits well with what Dom Capers does, and nobody fits well with what Dom Capers does. So that's really saying something. The concern is how he performed last year. His first season as a Jaguar, he was fantastic. 23 pass breakups and 4 interceptions. That's a really good season for somebody that was making, what, $6 million? He was nowhere to be found last year. Like, he never saw the field, and when he did, he wasn't effective. So I don't know. I plan on reaching out to the Jaguars guy we talked to in week 1 of last year, Jordan DeLugo. I'm sure he listens to all of these.
Oh yeah,
he was good. But I'd like to get his perspective on just what went wrong last year. But from what I've been hearing, it was just he didn't fit with what they were trying to do. He fits here, and I'm really excited to see him back. I think he's going to help a lot with this secondary. And I will concede, this does not mean secondary fixed. Like, we still need more coverage ability. We still need more speed added. I would still spend our first or second round pick on a cornerback, especially given the quality of cornerbacks in this draft. You're getting, like, a first round talent at the end of the second round. I am into that. So, but it is, at the end of the day, one big step closer to having a defense that you can not be ashamed of, I guess. Yeah, moving in the right direction with this move big time. I'm a fan.
Brian, you keep saying that House is a better in coverage than Hyde, and that's technically true, but, like, only at one position. That's the thing. Like, Hyde is not great, but he has more versatility than House does. House can play the outside, and, like, that's it. I don't want to see House back in safety. No. I don't want to see House covering out of the slot. I don't want to see House creeping close to the line to the blitz. Like, House can do one.
No, but I also think that Demaryius Randall and maybe even Quentin Rollins would be better in that Hyde role than they are at cornerback. So maybe they just improve by getting to play a little bit more hybrid of a position, playing on the inside in the slot, a little bit of safety, things like that. I think that would really suit them, while Devon House. I mean, I'm not pumped about the idea of Devon House covering a number one receiver every week, but it's, we have a much better chance at success with that and those two young guys playing inside, playing the hybrid role, than we do Ladarius Gunter lining up against Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, that's like Randall becomes Hyde, and then House becomes Randall almost now.
Which... And then I become House, and you become Death Destroyer.
Love worlds. It.
I like.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're all
clear. I am into it.
Dusty might have just gotten the point right there. No, I'm going to actually give the point to Brian, just because at the end of Dusty's spiel, you just admitted that you lied, and I don't like liars. So
Jordan does not like liars. Yeah. If there's one thing that you need to know about Jordan, he does not suffer liars.
Exactly.
It wasn't all lies. I believe some of it, but whatever. It's fine. Whatever. The points
a partial
are
lie is still a lie, Dusty. the omission of truth is still a lie.
What, is that true? Oh. I don't think that's true. I gotta check.
It's the worst kind of lie.
Google.
No, the internet says you're wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Oh, boy.
I was hoping you wouldn't look.
I think we'd better move on. All right. Jordan, thank you for the point, but now you get to go up against me.
Fantastic.
Micah Hyde is a Buffalo Bill. That surprised me. All the places I thought that he might go, the Bills weren't even on my radar. But here we go. All right, I'm gonna flip this coin. For me, heads positive, tails negative. All right, I finally got a negative, Dusty. I have to go negative.
That's good for you. I'm glad you finally just skewed one away from your favorite.
Anyways, all right. And do you notice that I did it when you were the judge too? So trying to gain a little bit of favor here.
No, didn't go unnoticed. Yeah.
All right, Micah Hyde. I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of his game. I know I just talked out about his lack of coverage ability, and yeah, it's there. And yeah, if he had made that interception, we would have beaten the 49ers in the playoffs and moved on a couple of years ago. But you know what? That's a long time ago. I've just always been a fan of his. He plays smart. He plays solid. To showcase the smartness, the way he read that throw by Dak Prescott in that Cowboys game, he knew he was going to intercept that ball. He knew exactly where it was going to be 5 seconds before that play even started. And that's just the kind of leadership, the kind of smart play that we're losing at the back end of our defense right now. And it's never good to lose something like that, especially when we're talking about a team that, especially in the secondary, lacked so much of just that, with Kentrell Bryce and those yet three young cornerbacks getting all that playing time. And man, it's tough to lose something like that. Left at a reasonable price, I'm not sure that I would have matched it. Clearly Ted wouldn't have matched it, but man, we're going to miss his smart football ability next year.
Yeah. You mentioned the contract. I mean, I think that's really where this comes down. I'm not sure how fair it really is. I think Micah Hyde did very well for himself, getting that contract from Buffalo. And it was certainly, he doesn't get paid all that money without his play in the second half of the year, so I will give him that. He had an opportunity and he used it. But the fact of the matter is Hyde is not a very not a very quick athlete, defender in our secondary. Certainly a guy that did well for us. Not to mention not just in the defense, but also in the punt return game. He wasn't a dynamite punt returner, but he was solid back there. So that's something else we're kind of losing with him. But I mean. At the end of the day, you cannot fault Ted at all for not dishing out $30 million to this dude over 5 years. He can be upgraded upon, and we even mentioned it with the last debate. I mean, you have Devon House now, being just a corner on the outside. You can move Randall into that hybrid role, which is more what he played in college. He played safety in college, so I think for the Packers defense as a whole, we're better off now with Hyde gone and House in. So in that right there, we're paying a lot less for Devon House than Micah Hyde. So, I mean, all in all, it's a fantastic move for our secondary.
Yeah, and I did want to bring up one thing about that Prescott interception, Brian, was per Micah Hyde after the game, he said Gunter, who was standing behind him on that play, read the same exact thing and was pointing it out to him. Oh. So you do lose some veteran stuff, but Hyde was not the only guy that saw that. There's smart guys in that secondary. Hyde just happened to be in that position.
It's true.
But, yeah, I'm going to go just I go with Jordan again. Because why not?
Because why not?
Why not? I'll go with Jordan again. Yeah, I mean, Jordan, your point about the second half is very, very yep. true. Because I feel like before that, I mean, first half of the year, Hyde didn't do much. And for most of his time there, he made a handful of impact plays. And the best you could say about him, he's a solid, halfway decent tackler most of the time. Like, that was it. He parlayed a big second half, an impactful second half. Like you said, I don't want to say that's not good, but he had a very good second half and got paid, and that's fine. But there's like, I fault Ted nothing for not paying that money. Agreed. I think Ted was looking at like 4.5 average salary per year. And once, I mean, over six, like I don't mind the Bills overpaying for Hyde. Like
that's like what we got Martellus Bennett for Hyde, guys.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and yeah, I wouldn't have matched it either. And what really doesn't make sense, like of all the cornerbacks to go after, for the Bills to go after Hyde, like I get that they had to cut a safety and they lost Stephon Gilmore, so they lost a cornerback and a safety, so they got a guy that can play a little bit of both. But they lost their best cover corner, and they're replacing him with Micah Hyde on a big deal. That doesn't make sense to me. It feels like they didn't like do their research.
Hyde is fine in the slot, in space as kind of an extra linebacker, and at safety, but like he's not above average at any of
his
spots.
No, he's not.
It's just it's the overpaying. I mean, it's
for the Bills.
He's a good player for any team, but he's not worth that money.
And for the Bills, who are just desperate for a cover guy after losing Gilmore, they overpaid for a guy that's not a cover guy.
Yeah.
And you wonder why that team is so bad every year.
They always say, you know, it's not 5 years, $30.5 million. That's not the real thing. But they still gave him, that's $14 million guaranteed. Yeah. Like, that's fairly high for Micah Hyde.
Whereas $14 million over, like, 3 or 4 years really would be the most I would have given him.
Dude, so, the dude was third safety and fourth or fifth cornerback on the Packers secondary.
Right. And not a good secondary. So yeah. I'm with you. All right. Moving on from Mr. Hyde. Lance Kendricks, a Wisconsin born, Milwaukee native, Wisconsin Badger in college, St. Louis Ram for 6 years. Was blindsided, he said, when he was cut by the Rams. The Packers didn't let anyone else talk to him. The very next day, they had an agreement in place with him. So, Ted, my goodness. Ted never has this kind of tenacity for a free agent, by the way. He never sees what he wants and just goes and gets it like this. So, that really caught me off guard. Okay. Oh, I made a mistake here on the roster. It is not my turn. It's Jordan's turn.
Ooh, cool. All right.
I almost screwed everything up there. All right. Jordan and Dusty, Lance Kendricks. So, Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. You're going to go positive if it's head, negative if it's tails. Ooh, I just jumbled that. Oh, well. Heads. Jordan, go positive.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, this is wonderful. I mean, the fact that this dude is from Wisconsin – grew up a Packers fan. You mentioned the quote, which I would have mentioned as well, the fact that he was blindsided by that. So that's going to be a chip on his shoulder. I mean, he was disrespected by a team that he played for 6 years and did pretty well. Not fantastic. I wouldn't call him an elite tight end by any stretch, but he's not, doesn't need to be an elite tight end for our offense. He needs to be the second tight end for our offense, which he will fill the role more than ably. Yeah, this is a guy. I mean, for any Richard Rodgers groupies out there, I mean, I hear you, but this guy's way better than him. So I mean, the Packers tight end position now is set for at least the next couple of years, which is just fantastic news. Gives McCarthy a lot of versatility. Based on Rodgers' Twitter account, he was pleased with the particularly with the Bennett deal. I can't imagine he's upset that they got Kendricks as well. This is a good thing for offense. It makes our offense that much tougher to defend, and it was pretty tough to defend to begin with. So I mean, and at the price they got him, I mean it's pennies in terms of NFL money.
Yeah.
And what Kendricks can offer this offense, so I don't see many negatives with it at all.
Dusty.
It's a bum. It's a terrible deal. You believe 2 years, $4 million for a big tight end with a speed and a ton of potential? It sucks. It's a terrible deal. I can't stand for it. It's bad. It's hard to say.
Just give me the point.
It's hard to say anything bad about this. I mean, you can even look at my go-to with a lot of with receivers is catch rate because it tends to. It tends to stay the same, even regardless of quarterback, which seems odd, but there really aren't a ton of wild fluctuations. And so he caught 57.5% of passes last year. So, that's not great. But, that's his lowest year as a starter. He's consistently, 65, 69, 71, 69. I don't think Cook has ever had one of above 60%. He's basically everything Jared Cook could be, I assume, but better already. He's realized some of that potential. Mm-hmm. And they got him on a really good deal. I really was trying the whole time Jordan was talking, I was really trying to find something that I could say negative about this deal. And I can't, because it's a second tight end. If they were signing him to be the starting tight end, that's one thing. But all this does is push Richard Rodgers to third on the depth chart, and that's fine. what? Who cares? That's fine. I can't just give the point to Jordan. I can't come up with anything negative. I love this deal.
Dusty,
I love it.
This is my podcast. This is my website. And over here, people get rewarded for questioning authority and rebelling. And you refuse to go negative on a clearly 100% positive deal, you get a point.
That was a much better explanation than just, I don't want to give the point to Jordan. Thank you, Brian.
You earned it. You earned it.
I really tried. I tried to bring some fire, and I couldn't keep it up. It's such a good deal.
It really
is.
2 years, $4 million. And this time last year, before having signed Jared Cook, if we had signed Lance Kendricks to a 2-year, $4 million deal, and we're talking about him being the starter going into last season, we'd all be talking about how we just upgraded the tight end position and did it for nothing. And now we're talking about that, but he's the backup. He's the number two. I'm so excited.
He caught last year, he caught 50 passes for almost 500 yards from. Let me check to see who the quarterback for the Rams was last year. It was me. For the Rams last year. And he caught 50 balls. Yeah.
My goodness.
I'm so excited.
I can't remember the last time we had this much talent at tight end. We'll probably have to go back to the Favre era for sure.
Yeah, it might be Jackson and
Chimura.
Even
pre-Bubba Franks, we'd have to go. But man, I'm excited about this. What we're going to be able to do through the air next year, man, Aaron Rodgers is going to have less time to throw without Lang, but he's going to need less time because, oh my goodness, so many weapons. So excited. Okay, moving on. We've got another offensive lineman to talk about. We lost JC Treader. True versatility has gone. He is a Brown. He's looking like he'll be their starting center. Browns really improved their offensive line, and that was a big part of it. All right, Dusty, it's you and me, mano a mano. All right, I'll flip this coin. If it's heads, you go positive. Tails, you go negative. Heads, you get to go positive against me now. What? Yeah.
Woo!
What's rigged?
I get to go positive. I mean, we talked about this earlier, or I brought it up with on the Lang point. As far as Treader would have been great, you can slot him in anywhere on the line. I mean, he really can. I wouldn't want him playing every game at left tackle, but he can hold it down there for a little bit if he needs to. You really can slot this guy anywhere on the line, and he's shown that he can hold it down for at least a little bit. Putting Treader in that right guard spot would have been seamless. So I really wanted him, and then if nothing else, even if you get someone to plug that hole, you get that depth, man. Just anyone goes down, just you put Treader in there for the game, maybe even the next game, and you know that he's not going to kill you. And that's huge. That's huge, especially if you have questions along the offensive line or if you're lacking depth. Losing Treader, that sucks. He got the money he got, too. Like, he didn't get a ton of money. It was 3 years, $16 million, $16.75, $10 million guaranteed. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, the only thing I'll say is, I mean, his... Wait, am I positive or negative? I forgot what I was doing. I'm positive? Good. Okay. let's just keep rolling. Josh,
Ryan gets the point.
You haven't heard how stupid my point is yet.
His injury history, I would say, is troublesome, in that he missed quite a bit of time. You don't know how guys are going to bounce back from major injuries. He missed most of the year. It kept being, well, he's coming back, he'll be coming back, and he just never really did. So, I mean, that's troublesome a little, but you get a guy like that who you could put, no hyperbole, anywhere on the line, and he's going to hold it down. That's huge. There aren't a lot of guys like that out there. And then, I mean, we joked about it earlier, but, I mean, you go from... that position, you basically go from Treader to Don Barclay, and that drop off is just—it's so steep. It's like the cliffs Wile E. Coyote falls off of. That like there's no bottom, and then an anvil falls top of him because he's Don Barclay. It's huge. It's huge.
All right. So, well, now that Dusty made all of my points for me. the big thing for me, since I have to go negative, I absolutely would have matched that offer. I don't know if we were even given the opportunity to match that offer or what, or if Ted got the opportunity and said, nah, we're good, but I would definitely have given him $5-6 million a year for the next 3 years to start at right guard for sure. I'd rather have him at right guard and have to deal with some injuries and, you know, plug and play behind him than not have him at all. Just think he's so good. There were other people that suggested moving Lindsley to guard and keeping Treader in at center, and I think that would probably work too. But it stinks to lose that much talent and to lose it for a very reasonable deal. This is probably the one transaction that's happened so far that I like at all question. Like, I would prefer to have Lang back, but at that money, there's no way I would have matched that. With Treader, I would have preferred to have him back, and at that money, I absolutely would have matched it. I think he would have just slotted right in, just like Dusty said.
It's those injuries that get me. Yeah. It really is. I mean, it really is the injuries for me. That really scares me, depending on a guy and paying that much money for
a guy. But it's still $3 million less than Lang was making last year. And yeah, say he misses six games, we still have him for 10. And I'm happy with that.
But yeah, say he misses.
We still
12,
have him
though.
For like, four.
That's like, the thing.
No, I get like, yeah, the injuries are definitely a concern, and we'll see what happens as a Brown. He'll definitely have his work cut out for him, having to protect God knows who.
Oh, as a Brown, he's going to have his leg amputated halfway through the season. But, we already know how this plays out.
I would love to have seen him back.
Yeah, it's a couple of things. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the injury, and then also too the Treader move happened before Lane got signed by the Lions.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm just trying to put myself in the mindset of Ted Thompson. He's like, well, am I going to pay this much money for a backup lineman? You know, because at that point, if he thinks he's bringing TJ Lane back, are you really wanting to pay $6 million a year? Yeah. Or $5 million a year for a backup lineman? And I mean, knowing Ted Thompson, he would say no to that. Well, then we didn't get Lane. So, I mean, that's the risk you run. And maybe this didn't work out the way he wanted, or maybe he's totally fine with it. I don't know. I have no idea. But that was a tough thing. That's a tough thing. So,
I agree.
In this case, I actually, let's give the point here. I'm gonna give it to Brian. Actually,
I got lost.
Brian did well. This was a good one. This is probably the most controversial one, or at least the most negatively viewed one. So this is probably the best one to talk about. Yeah. Really, when you talk about one move that the Packers you'd like to have back, and probably this guy, amazingly enough, a guy that has probably played the least amount of snaps as anybody that we released, which is funny. But that's where we're at.
the state of this offseason, where the most upsetting move that has happened was losing a backup offensive line.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Jordan, me and you.
Game time.
We've got two left. This one, Jayrone Elliott. I love this boy.
Yeah.
We get to talk about Jayrone Elliott. He signed today on a short-term deal after visiting Pittsburgh, I believe. Which actually, Devon House visited Pittsburgh too. What are they doing in Pittsburgh? Because they just had Dante Hightower in, and they didn't get him either. And apparently he was really mad because he was going to leave, and he was saying he was going to think about it. And they told Hightower, if you get on that plane, our deal is dead. Offer's off the table. So I think they really pissed him off with that. But I don't know what they're doing in Pittsburgh right now with all that snow. I don't know.
Pittsburgh has never been known for their defense, so that's probably why.
That's true. Like, well, yeah. All right.
Who wants to go there as a pass rusher? Who's ever met a name for themselves? Cold in Pittsburgh.
You might as well stay in New England.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Jayrone Elliott. All right, I'm gonna flip this. If it's heads, positive; tails, negative. Flipping it for me. Positive. Oh, thank goodness! I love Jayrone Elliott. Every week of the season, though, is so frustrating thinking, dude, Jayrone Elliott just had a great game last week. He's going to come in. This is it. And then he just get benched. He just get benched for like 6 weeks. And it never made a lick of sense to me. But this dude has serious potential as a pass rusher, as everything that an outside linebacker needs to be in this system. It started with his first year, like having like 2-3 sack games in the preseason, and I'm like, dude, this kid might actually play. 2 career games against Seattle, and in both of those games, he registered sacks and turnovers, just like dominates the Seattle Seahawks. Like, I guarantee you, as long as he's a Packer, he will not be a did not play coach's decision on a game against the Seahawks. He just has his way with them. But then he gets benched. I don't get it. But this kid is seriously talented. He is freakishly athletic and strong and fast. And I'm just a huge fan of his. He's coming back. He's coming back cheap. And he said no to Pittsburgh. So all great things in my book.
This is a really confusing one for me. I mean, yeah, this bringing him back for the price we got him at. I mean, yeah. What guy isn't worth that money? I mean, you'd have to really to be
Don Barclay.
Well, all right. Point proven. You got me there.
I got you there.
But I mean, it's just you mentioned his benchings for weeks at a time. It had to have been something off the field. It had to have been some kind of issue off because right, it didn't make any sense why he wasn't seeing the field, considering our production at that position. It's like, why isn't this guy getting an opportunity? This guy was a healthy scratch for games. Why? Yeah, we didn't know. So my thought was it had to be something off the field. Well, then we go ahead and bring him back on a deal. It's very confusing to me. I'm excited that we have him back. But negative. If we're looking for a negative here, it's like, why was this guy benched? Was it a personality issue? Was it an off-the-field issue, something in the locker room? You know, I don't know. Figure that kind of stuff does come out in time, and it never did with him. So maybe not. I don't know. Nobody knows. So that'd be the one negative I could see. But you know, now that we've let go of Detone Jones, an offensive linebacker, we've let go of Peppers. You know, the depth isn't there anymore. Not that we really had that much depth to begin with. But I mean, if the linebacking core stays as it is, Elliott's going to get snaps. He's going to have to get snaps. You can't scratch him, like Brian said. So
yeah.
In terms of a negative. You know, just why was he benched? Was it something off the field? I don't know. That's pretty much all I can come up with. It's a cheap deal. It's a very low risk deal. Very low risk, potentially high reward if the guy plays in long spurts as he's played in short spurts.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, you made some good points, especially with the off the field. Mm-hmm. It is confusing if that was a personality thing. Why bring him back? Was it not a personality thing? Hey, or do they?
If you figure it's a personality thing, you just cut him loose. He's gone.
Yeah, That is confusing. I'm gonna go with Brian because Brian reminded me of the one-handed interception of Russell Wilson. which was just dynamite on the like where the on the perfectly red little screen.
Just go rewatch the last two times that we played like, the Seahawks, and just watch Jayrone Elliott the whole time.
Actually,
and it's
if
so
I
much
think
fun.
Of like, I can think of like some of my favorite interceptions of the past few years, and that's one of them. And Hyde's little backhanded one arm scoop of the Bridgewater left handed throw was one of the best things I've ever seen. And then Randall against the Seahawks this year was something. But yeah, I think two of the ones I loved were just one-handed interceptions. One guy still here, one guy not. So, hey, Brian, thanks for reminding me.
I'm having a total brain lock. I do not remember the Micah Hyde one against Bridgewater.
Oh, dude, look it up.
I'll post it tonight. I'm pretty sure I got a GIF of that. It was Bridgewater wrapped up, so he didn't have his right hand, so he pulled like a Aaron Brooks, Jake Plummer, where he switched it to his left hand and just threw off balance, and it just fluttered in the air, and Hyde just had this insane, just backhanded scoop it's while falling down. Ridiculous. Like, one of the more insane interceptions
I did just find it on really YouTube. Amazing. I gotta watch a progressive ad first, and then I'll watch it.
Dude.
So, it was pretty exciting.
It was on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, yes! That
yeah, it
play.
Was.
That's
right. Okay. That play.
Oh,
yeah. Bridgewater, why would you throw dynamite. That pass?
That's amazing.
Into coverage. Like, into coverage, too. Seriously. Like, there wasn't a guy wide open. Like, that was...
I do remember that now. I'm glad you reminded me of it.
Thanks, Teddy.
Yeah.
Okay, one more to go through, and that is a future Hall of Famer. We're going to talk about Julius Peppers. I'm actually super okay with where he went. I'm kind of excited to see what he looks like in black and blue again, playing in Carolina. Should be interesting. All right, Jordan, if it's heads, you're going positive about Peppers. If it's tails, you're going negative. It's tails. You're angry we don't have Peppers.
I am furious.
So angry.
We should be, should have gone 20 million. Yeah.
Control your rage.
Ideally, we cut Rodgers and Matthews and we pay Peppers to play both outside linebacker and quarterback.
Speaking some damn sense right now.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, this is negatively on this. I will say this. Last year, in opportune times, Peppers did come up big. Mm-hmm. He had usually that one or two plays a game. You're like, oh, man, you know. That was something. Considering his age, that's a big time play. It's a Hall of Famer play, and you can't take that away from the guy. Now that was one or two plays a game, though. That was the unfortunate part, is that you weren't getting that consistently from him. Considering the money we were paying him, you wanted to get that more of a game for the entire game, and that wasn't happening. I can't even think of a game where that did happen. I can't think of a game last season where I'm like, oh yeah, Peppers just owned that game. It didn't happen. He had plays at opportune times that certainly increased his value for the defense, but you know, for the money that he was getting, and I honestly don't know what the Panthers paid for him, but this was three and a half million.
At this point,
this dude is obviously not he's not even a short term answer for this defense. For the Panthers, it's almost like a nostalgic move. For us to re-sign him, even at that price, would have been very questionable. So, in terms of that kind of playmaking, though, I mean, we've lost Jones now. We've lost Peppers. Who's going to do that for us? You know, we still got some free agency left where we can add a guy that can maybe make some of those plays next year. I mean, it's what this defense needs. Edge rushing, this is not a new thing to Packers fans. They've known that this is what we need in free agency or in the draft. And we're losing some productivity from Peppers. So, I mean, it's something they got to take into account. I think they can do it at a much cheaper cost, but it's still something they got to address.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan made most of my points for me. It's hard, like impossible to really get upset about this move. I mean, to Jordan's point, he made some plays, especially during the run the table stretch, about one or two per game that were huge, but I mean, you gotta apply consistent pressure. If you're just sitting back there, he was, and even taking away the pass rush, like he's been useless against the run for like the past 2 years. They kind of been having him on limited snaps early in the year, and they kind of let him loose. He's good for absolutely no consistent pressure at all. Just a couple impact plays a game, and like I don't know, as a as an opposing offense, you can deal with that. Like, because those are going to happen regardless of who's out there. I mean, Jayron Elliott will probably get you one or two impact plays per game. You're looking for probably more than that. You're looking for consistent pressure, and Peppers wasn't giving that. And like Jordan said, I mean, it's if you even 3.5, which is not a lot of money, and the Packers have cap space, if they had brought him back on that, I would have been very upset, because that probably means less time for Elliott, or I'm not a fan of Fackrell, but less time to see what Fackrell does, or taking away snaps from maybe Dean Lowry. I mean, you just, there's so many guys in this team, not to mention who they could grab in the draft, that could possibly be impact guys that we wouldn't see because Peppers was out there. It's hard not to be happy about this move. So I'm glad he was here, but good. See you later, Julius.
I thought it was really sweet the way that Jordan made all of Dusty's points for him. So I'm gonna give the point to Jordan.
It was nice. Yeah.
It was just very sweet of you. Very considerate, man.
Yeah, I was taking notes. And I just kind of repeated them verbatim from what he said. So I was hoping Jordan's, no one noticed.
You're so sweet, man. All right, so Jordan got that very sweet point right there, which means that Jordan and I tied at the top of this week's rankings. The biggest coin toss that Pack to the Future has ever done.
By far.
You guys are welcome. I don't think we've ever gone, like, maybe one week we did four or something, but we've never gone over that. So
we just more than double, did we just drop 10?
We just dropped 10, man.
Love it.
Yeah. Tell your friends about this show. Final thoughts, Dusty, kick us off here.
All right, so during the NFL season, I would always look at cheap tickets just to see what the next game you could go to if you felt like going to an NFL game but didn't want to pay any money. And it was always the Browns or the Chargers or the Chiefs or probably the Jaguars. I should have kept notes. I don't know. I'll do that next year. I'll track it next year. But listen, man, baseball's here now. Baseball's here. We've got the World Baseball Classic, which is awesome. My boy, Miguel Cabrera, hit a game-tying solo shot in the bottom of the ninth last night. It got me excited about the upcoming Tiger season. But more importantly for this segment, we have got spring training. And if you want to go see a Brewers game down at Maryville Park in Arizona, you can go see Royals Brewers. I forgot the date. I think it's Friday. Pretty sure this Friday, maybe the podcast will be out by now. I don't know. You can get lawn seats, which, man, if you've never been to a spring training game, lawn seats are the best. They're dynamite, man. You throw a little blanket out there. You have a little picnic. You bring a little booze or maybe buy some cheap booze because you're at a cheap spring training game. You can go to that game, sit on the lawn, out in left field. $7. $7. It's like the best 3.5 hours of entertainment you can hope for. You're not even fighting big crowds in and out. So just do that. And, I mean, if you live in Arizona or Florida, I used to live in Clearwater, and we used to get spring training games through there. Man, always a good time. If you get a chance to go to a spring training game at a minor league park, there's nothing like it in the world. So, yeah, do that. We've also got last final thought. We've got March Madness coming up, which I'm excited about. I got tickets a couple years ago. Games come through RUP every now and then, first-round games here in Lexington. And I got free tickets to go to a first-round series at RUP. I got to see two games, and I didn't care about either of the teams, and it was awesome. Just a dynamite time. Got to see two close games come down to the end. Just the atmosphere was dynamite. If you get a chance, just go to a set of first-round games. I think tickets are generally you can get two games to get in. You get two games, sit down, have something to drink. I myself had an ice cream cone, and it was delightful. So do that if you have the opportunity. Absolutely do it. It's like one of the best times as far as sporting events you can possibly have. So just do that. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely.
Jordan, final thoughts.
I got one final thought. It actually goes along right with college basketball. I mean, you mentioned baseball, spring training, which I get pumped about every year. But these are my favorite couple months. As we record this podcast, I've had the Kansas State Wake Forest game on in the background. I love March Madness. Nice. Love the first four being played in Dayton, my old hometown just a couple of years ago. Great arena. Yeah, they always talk about it too. If they're at a game at University of Dayton, they talk about the arena, how great it is. It's a fantastic place to watch a college game. You mentioned Rupp Arena, probably a little more energetic than Dayton, but Dayton's still a nice spot. But I was actually at the Big Ten tournament, which is actually held close to where I'm at here in Virginia. It was actually at the Verizon Center at DC. It was the perfect couple of games. Me and my brother went, got to see our Wisconsin Badgers play Indiana, get the win. But actually, that was an interesting game. We caught the session. Second game was actually Maryland versus Northwestern, which was fantastic. If you know, not too familiar with the geography, Maryland is very close to DC. It was a home game. Verizon Center was filled up with Maryland fans, and it was absolutely fantastic. And it got to the couple moments at the end of the game, one in particular. So we had some jabroni, you know, Maryland fans. They had been drinking. They had been drinking for most of the game, before the game. And we get to a point in the second half, I think. And, you know, the shot clock for college basketball had gone down from 35. Now it's down to 30 this season. And so Northwestern has the ball in the backcourt. It gets to the 25-second mark. And the dude in front of us just stands up and hollers, 10-second violation, 10-second violation. And then everyone around him is like, dude, it's only been 5 seconds. Even his drunk friends are like, it's only been 5 seconds. And then he just hollers right after that. It's like, 5 seconds, 5 seconds. It was fantastic. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. It wasn't too much fun for the Maryland fans since Northwestern won the game, but it was a great time for me and my brother. So that was a good time. But I'm excited for watching college basketball for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Lovely. And as John always has to remind you, Twitter, Jordan, Twitter.
Oh yeah, Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at JGPeck41.
All right, I have got three final thoughts here. My first final thought: T-shirts. We have T-shirts. We talked about Pride and Glory's T-shirts. Well, now Pack to the Future has them too. If you haven't seen them, they're at packtothefuture.com/shop. You can find a link right on our website. We've got 5 designs live now, each one cooler than the last. So please go buy some of those. I think everybody on this podcast right now owns one. Jordan just ordered his tonight. So we're all sporting them. We're good to go. Final thought number 2, sticking with football. My man crush on Brock Osweiler is long gone, but the Browns move to trade for him and pick up a second round pick to basically absorb his salary for 1 year was awesome. The Browns were bandits in that situation. Like, great deal for both teams all around, but it feels weird to be saying that the Browns made a really good move, and they made a really good move here. They can cut him before camp and just eat that salary, or they can give him a chance and, you know, see if maybe behind this revamped offensive line, he can produce something more than Robert Griffin III. He won't, but they have the luxury of finding that out firsthand if they want to, with no repercussions.
He's got J.C. Treader snapping on the ball, though.
He does.
Let's not forget this. We can't keep praising the guy and think that he's not going to be affecting Brock Osweiler in a positive way.
There you go.
A lot of people forget this. A lot of people.
Keep that in mind. All right. Final thought number 3. I'm going to resurrect my dumbest thing I saw on social media this week. So here we go. This tweet, the guy who tweeted this is not offering the dumb thought. He's quoting the dumb thought. So this is at F. Gervasi.
Travis Gervasi. It's pronounced Travis. All right.
So his caption is, if this happens, I'll eat this tweet. The quote is, Tony Pauline reports the Packers would like to move left tackle Bakhtiari inside to guard and upgrade the left tackle spot. Okay. Where the hell do I begin? First of all, you don't upgrade awesome. Left tackle when you have a top 5 left tackle. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, this is just completely stupid. Second, this was clearly in response to rubbish rumors about moving Brian Bulaga inside, which makes a little bit more sense, but really not that much sense either, because he's also like a top five probably right tackle in this league. So that doesn't make sense to me either. But you're going to tell me that the guy you just shelled out a big contract for, one of the best left tackles in the league, you want to improve on that by putting him at guard? I just, there's too much stupid in that
Don Barclay.
Right. Like, is that what we're talking about here? Like, how are you going to, what free agent is out there? What draft pick is out there? What anybody is out there available to the Packers that would even, like, I can't even say improve the left tackle position. What player is out there that wouldn't just demolish our left tackle position? There's no way that that in any world makes sense. Like, there's too much dumb to even address in that tweet. Just made my blood boil. Oh, end rant.
I can't even tell. You're being so reserved about it, Brian. I couldn't tell.
Goodness. I promised when I started doing these segments of dumb things on social media, I promised that I wouldn't use any Skip Bayless, and it's turning out to be a lot easier than I thought it would be. Goodness gracious. And I've really been tempted to use Skip Bayless a few times, but man.
I'll say this. You may have one more final thought. I can't remember how many you're at right now. That was three. Okay, good. You mentioned Travis Jervis. So I looked him up on Wikipedia right now. I found this. I have to say this. This is hilarious. I wanted to see where he went to college. He went to the Citadel. Drafted in 1995. But this is so they give his high school some pro stats, but then his personal section on Wikipedia says verbatim, while playing for the Packers, he lived with teammate LaShawn Johnson in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The two owned a pet lion named Nala, which they purchased from a Dallas pet store for $900. Like, who found that out? Finds out this information and posts it to Wikipedia. Brilliant.
Yeah, he... I knew that. Like, the two facts I knew about Travis Jervy was that, and that also he got braces as an adult. And I hated him so much. I don't know if this is actually true or not, but hated him so much that after like a week, he pulled him off with the pliers.
I believe that real hard.
Pulled him right off with the pliers.
That sounds awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. Those are the two facts I know about Travis Jersey. Also, apparently his nickname per Pro Football Reference is Flash.
That makes perfect sense.
He was a quick little guy. That, yeah. Yeah, he was a quick little dude.
Amazingly enough, he's only 44 years old. I figured he'd be older.
Feels like he was a Packer like 40 years ago.
Like, isn't Tom Brady 40 years old?
41, I think.
He's like 80.
Jeez. Oh, man. All right. You can find me on Twitter, PTTF_Brian. Check out, we got a new podcast signed up at Pack to the Future. It's called Blue Cheese Radio, a couple of Kentucky guys. So, you should like that, being a Kentucky guy yourself.
Yeah, they're my best friends.
That's right. They do a really good job on that show, so make sure you're checking that out. Their most recent episode is up on our site right now. You can find it easily, so check it out. Thank you guys so much for listening. We had a ton of fun making this show today. We will catch you next time. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.